Chapter 27. It was cold inside the refrigerator. You might think that would be obvious, but obviousness doesn't provide any warmth, and I had been shivering since the shock of Samantha's betrayal wore off. It was cold, and the small room was filled with jars of blood, and there was no way out, not even with the help of my tire iron. I had tried to shatter the small glass window in the refrigerator's door, which shows how low I had descended into panicked unreason. The glass was an inch thick and reinforced with wire, and even if I had managed to break it, the opening was barely big enough for one of my legs. Naturally enough, I had tried to call Deborah on my cell phone. And of course, more naturally, there was no reception at all inside an insulated box with thick metal walls. I knew they were thick because, after I gave up trying to break the window and then bent the tire iron trying to pry open the door, I had hammered on the walls for a few minutes, which was almost as effective as twiddling my thumbs would have been. The tire iron bent a little more, the rows and rows of blood seemed to close in on me, and I started to breathe hard. And Samantha just sat and smiled. And Samantha herself. Why did she sit there with that Mona Lisa smile of perfect contentment? She had to know that at some point in the not-too-distant future, she would become an entree. And yet when I had arrived on my white horse in perfectly serviceable armor, she had kicked the door shut and trapped us both. Was it the drugs they had obviously fed her? Or was she so delusional that she believed they wouldn't really do to her what they had already done to her best friend, Tyler Spanos? Gradually, as the impulse to hammer at the walls faded and the shivering took over, I began to wonder about her more and more. She paid no attention at all to my feeble and comical efforts to break out of a giant steel box with a cheesy piece of iron. It should have been called a tire tin in this case. And she just smiled, eyes half closed, even when I gave up and sat beside her and let the cold get at me and take over. It really started to annoy me, that smile. It was the kind of expression you might see on someone who had taken too many recreational downers after making a killing in real estate, filled with a relaxed sense of complete satisfaction with herself, all she had done, and the world as she had shaped it, and I began to wish they had eaten her first. So I sat beside her and shivered and alternated anxiety with thinking terrible thoughts about Samantha. As if she hadn't behaved badly enough already, she didn't even offer to share her blanket with me. I tried to shut her out. Difficult to do in a small and very cold room when you are sitting right next to the thing you want to forget, but I tried. I looked at the jars of blood. They still made me faintly queasy, but at least they took my mind off Samantha's treachery. So much of the awful sticky stuff. I looked away and finally found a patch of metal wall to stare at that was not filled with either blood or Samantha. I wondered what Deborah was going to do. It was selfish of me, I know, but I hoped she was starting to get very worried about me. I had been gone just a little bit too long by now, and she would be sitting in the car and grinding her teeth together, tapping her fingers on the steering wheel, glaring at her watch, wondering if it was too soon to do something, and, if not, what that something ought to be. It cheered me up a little, not just the thought that she was certainly going to do something, but that she was fretting about it, too. It served her right. I hoped she would grind her teeth so hard she needed dental work. Maybe she could go see Dr. Lanoff. For no other reason than because I was anxious and bored, I took out my cell phone and tried to call her again. It still didn't work. "That won't work in here," Samantha said in her slow and happy voice. "Yes, I know," I said. "Then you should stop trying," she said. I know I was new to having human feelings, but I was pretty certain that the one she was inspiring in me was annoyance verging on loathing. "Is that what you've done?" I said. "Given up?" She shook her head slowly with a kind of low-pitched, two-syllable chuckle. "No way," she said. "Not me." "Then for God's sake, why are you doing this? Why did you trap me in here, and now you just sit there and smirk?"